So, Stuart, you're going to mention the Vincent Cassell Mesrine double bill.
Mesrine. Oh, as he kept correcting everyone.
I'm Scottish. Right here.
Mesrine.
I think we all saw them, and
yeah,
I think we've got mixed feelings about both of them. I think we all liked the first one.
Definitely liked
the
first
one. We didn't all think the second one was amazing.
I think with all the consensus on the second one, it was far too long.
Yeah. So just to give a quick overview, the film is about Jacques Mesrine.
Mesrine.
There you go.
Spelt Mesrine.
I'm not French. who is one of the most notorious gangsters of French history, I think, really.
Yeah, yes.
And also in, which I was surprised about, in Quebec. He's involved in quite a bit of shenanigans that way.
Yeah.
And it's really two films about his life. The first one was rise up to being crowned public enemy number one in France, and the second one about his life from that moment to his ultimate death. Sorry for giving away
spoiler.
The
spoiler,
but everyone does.
Spoiler. Well, it's not really a spoiler because it's in the open credits.
It's true, that's fair too.
It is. So the first film is about that rise, second film is about the fall, really.
Yeah.
And we saw both.
Yeah, the first film, although you do see him facing his death in the first 3 or 4 minutes, I think. Also, the film really starts in about 1959 or so, when he's in the army.
In Algeria.
Yeah, and the first scenes really are him being forced to decide whether he's going to kill a prisoner. And you see his kind of the pain look in his face. He doesn't really want to do it, I don't think.
Actually, he was being forced to kill the prisoner's wife.
That's right.
Who'd just been dragged in.
That's right, yeah.
And he has to make a choice.
And at this point, he's a conscientious, would you say? He's almost, he doesn't really want to do something like that. So, and then we see him leaving the army because he doesn't really agree with its methods. And then he starts getting involved with Gerard Depardieu. Well, he's his mate, first of all.
He meets his old friend who's got a crew together to do a couple of little jobs. Mm-hmm. And then they escalate, don't they? And they meet the local crime boss.
Well, it's quite playful at first, isn't it? There's the whole thing. Yeah. He goes down to the seaside and meets a beautiful girl and has fun, really.
Yeah.
And there's quite a lot of humour in the film as well. I think he's seen as a not exactly a light character, but he's
just kind of at the start. He's a cheeky rogue. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Lovable rogue.
He's involved in low level stuff, and it's he's out chasing girls and doing a bit of robbing type thing.
Yeah. Yeah, and then Gerard Depardieu is the kind of heavyweight character. More ways than one, because he's a big guy these days,
he's
isn't he?
Big, isn't he?
But he's brilliant, and I think he adds a real. I mean, Cassell is fantastic. He's got the real. He's magnetic, I think, on the screen. The camera loves him, which is one of the reasons we were sort of saying we thought that the film was so long. I think yourself, Richard, were saying that it's almost as if the director thought he was so good that the script was that long, but they couldn't see that.
You can see his performances, and this really goes in the second film, which is the second half, but his performances in the second half are amazing. But the story in the second half is more of the same,
There's not enough story to support his performance, that's the problem.
I think that the second film could have been an hour, and it could have been tagged on to the first. It might not even be an hour. And we could have just had a really long first film. Mm-hmm. And actually that, I would have been happy to sit through a really long.
I'd have sat through 3 hours.
Because he was really good. And the story was the first story in the first half is great.
It barrels along, doesn't it? And there's action scenes,
and it keeps escalating as well. So we see him up in the ante with a Gerard Depardieu's character as they get involved in a bit more violent, a bit more serious stuff. And then he himself escalates. He gets put into prison. And there's this whole little hint at, is the prison system making him the criminal? Would he have really been the criminal he becomes if it wasn't for the treatment in prison?
Yeah. Well, that's the first one, isn't it, with the whole sequences in Quebec? In Quebec jail?
There's a bit in France as well.
Uh-huh. There's a French jail where he gets all kinds of...
Is that in France? I thought it was in...
Well, there's two, so there's in French, but I think the one in Quebec is the one where he's... Is he quite comfortable? it's a really, really high security. Mm-hmm. Or is that back in France? I'm getting myself confused now.
Yeah, he's in a lot of prisons, basically. He's well known for
escaping.
He's a very good, yeah.
But the scenes where he is in prison and he's being, would you call it abused? He's being
tortured basically.
Absolutely. Basically tortured. They are very harsh.
Yeah. Not if you ask George Bush, but...
Yes, actually George Bush would have sanctioned this kind of activity.
I think that was in Canada, because I'm sure that at the end of it they talk about the fact that these prisons were kind of closed down.
I think it was in Canada, because it's a famous incident where he comes back out and he says he's going to go back and free all the prisoners.
Yes.
And he actually tries to, but the guy he takes with him is the one from the Quebec Liberation Army, yeah, something like that. And they try to free them. And there's some amazing things, and it's true. Mm-hmm. They do some amazing stuff like that.
So that's where the first film just has everything you could want, really. It's got his character being beaten down, his character coming back again. And you almost, I don't like to say you side with him, because he's basically a bad guy. But
he's kind of an anti-hero, because I think the way Vincent Cassell plays him, because he's that kind of charismatic guy.
He's like, well, he was the Robin Hood type character. That's the way I think they played. He liked to think of himself as sort of a given to the poor.
I think what they do is they've got them as this sort of really charismatic, quite funny guy, but then they offset that with these kind of explosive temper tantrums where he does absolutely horrible things to people, and that kind of jokes you back to the fact that this is actually a really nasty guy.
Well, there's a brilliant bit when he's with his wife when Gerard Depardieu comes back. I think things have happened and he comes back into his life.
That's after his first term in prison. Uh-huh. And he's promised to go straight.
Uh-huh. And he's with his wife and
he's kind of Depardieu's forced to make a choice again.
Yeah, and he does something, Marine does something very, very nasty. And the look on the face, though, of Depardieu's character and also his best friend, when they see him doing this, and you think they can see that he's getting out of control and he's going further than he should.
When the mob boss thinks you're going too far, that's
when you're in trouble.
And then, see some of the things he does earlier on.
And then we've got part two, which it is almost just, like you were saying, it's just more and more of the same. I mean, Matthew Amalric, who I think is fantastic from Diving Bell and The Butterfly, and also Quantum of Solace, where he wasn't so good. And a film I'm watching just now, I started watching this morning, A Christmas Tale, I think it's called. He is one of the finest actors around at the moment. Yeah. So it's great that he's in there. And he's great, and he's a bit comic relief almost, but his little pal, he doesn't get quite enough
time. He's not got
time.
Much to do.
No. But there's some tension in there.
Yeah. I think there's some good, a couple of good action sequences, especially like the car chase near the beginning, and the way it's shot and the music. Not usually a big fan of Marco Beltrami. I think he's a bit, not a big fan of his work outside of Scream really, but the way it's shot, it's really kind of runs with the whole 70s feel that's going on at the time, and it does feel like it could be out of some French Connection or something.
Is that the whole
like
opening sequence?
The second
I'm trying
film.
To remember. The second, but, yeah, it opens the second film where there's a car chase. I really quite like that, but from there it kind of...
Yeah, because it just reminded me about the opening sequence of the first film. Sorry to leap about like this. And I really loved that, because it opens up with some title, and I'm not going to remember it word for word, but the titles go along something like, remember, this is just somebody's recounting to the truth and the truth.
Yeah, it's based on truth, but yeah.
Might not be the same, it's viewed from different angles. And then what happens is the whole opening sequence are done from different angles.
Yeah, very clever.
And you get different screens. Louise will probably tell us what the technical word for those things are, but they're different screens. What's on the screen.
It's kind of split screen, 24
like
screen.
It might be a bit of Bullet. It might be a bit of that. And it's...
But everyone shows the same sequence from a slightly different angle, and things happen in slightly differently.
Ah, then just like a few seconds apart as well. It's a great little opening.
There's one scene where he's standing there and he takes off his glasses in the top bit. He just adjusts his hat in the next bit, I think, and the other one he turns around and looks at something. So you can see it's all slightly different, show you the different view of every...
But what's very clever about that opening sequence, which is, again, it's at the first 3 or 4 minutes, right at the end of the second film, which is 4.5 hours later, you get to see everything that happened from a completely different angle.
Yeah.
Which I thought was very, very clever.
Because there's context to it. Yeah.
Everything is context, and you just see it from another angle of someone else, basically. And
however,
it makes you see how clever it was.
However, that is a separate film. And this is this annoys me. They are totally separate films. So we can talk about them together, but people are not going to see them together. They are being sold and distributed as separate movies. Here is my movie. Here is my other movie. And that doesn't work like that. It just doesn't. Because in movie two, you're getting an ending that doesn't relate to the start of movie two.
No.
And likewise, in movie one, you see the ending.
Well, you do get...
But you don't get a proper...
Do you not get the start of part two? You get... Actually, it continues from the start of part one.
It does.
It's a sequel. So
which would be great if you were watching it the same night in the cinema, but even the same day, the next day, I might go for that.
I think it was fine for us who had the chance to see them almost back to back. But, they're not separate enough to be released a month apart, which I think they're getting.
No, I think it's an odd decision, that.
It's very odd.
It's interesting to know why they went for that choice, because it's going to be foreign language. The trailer's brilliant. I don't know if anyone's seen the trailer, but they don't have any French dialogue in the trailer. Very clever to kind of avoid the fact that it's subtitled.
It's action gangster flick.
Uh-huh. So the first one works as that.
Yes.
It's just a perfect little capsule of a film.
I think it'll work great on DVD. Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, that's... what are the official titles then for the two?
Well, according to the Edinburgh International Film Festival guide, Marine Killer Instinct, or Marine L'Instinct de Mort, or, and that's the first one. The second one is Measuring Public Enemy Number One. But you had a different...
Well, no, I didn't. Just looking at UK IMDb, they list the international English title as Death Instinct. However, there are about five different titles listed, and it's going to be confusing. That's another problem that the distributors face.
I hope it does really well.
Cassell is fantastic. You know, one thing that pains me, actually, and it had me crying when I was watching it, was the scene with his father. He goes into the hospital to see his father, talks to him just before he's dying. And the sad thing I remembered was that Vincent Cassell's father was going to portray that part in the films, but he died before the film started. Mm. So I don't know how they ended it, but just seeing that scene, and you saw the emotion in Vincent Cassell's face, and I was thinking, I don't know how he was feeling, but I was just imagining if that had been his dad, or if it hadn't. You know, he's doing that scene, and imagine if it was him.
We probably don't have time to talk about it, and I don't know all the details, but it was very interesting. I did have a quick look around just to read a bit more about the genesis of the story in the film, and it's a really interesting backstory to the production of the film, going back quite a few years, and there were various actors kind of involved in it and then pulled out, and Cassell was interested and he backed out and the script wasn't quite right. And so it was an interesting, I think Wikipedia probably has something like that. And nice little, but just interesting. It became so good and how it may have gone wrong. There was a really good chance that it shouldn't have been this good almost.
A lot of films have that sort of strange ambition. Ones that have gone wrong, that could have been good as well.